Kind of start this off today, you may not recognize this young lady, but she is my youngest daughter. When we've been here the last, several months especially, man, God has just been blessing us with a lot of young families, a lot of new faces, a lot of kids. And Heather and I walk away from Sunday mornings lately and we're like, we used to be those families. We used to have cute little kids. Not that they're not cute anymore, but I mean, they're just growing and pretty is what I will say. But we used to be like so many of you. We used to have cute little kids. At least we thought they were. Every parent thinks their kids are cute, even if it's blind or whatever. I'm going to be biased. I think Riley's cute there. I'm not going to lie. There was a time that when she's about that age that when you have young families like that, what do you have to have? Everyone has to at least have one of these when you have young families. What is it? A minivan, absolutely. You cannot go through life, have kids, and not have a season in time where you had a minivan. So we had a minivan. It was a Mazda MPV, and when we opened the doors, she used to say, "Daddy, catch me." And I caught her most of the time. There was one time that I was on the phone distracted, and the next thing I know, there was a little girl about this size right here, Riley about that age, that there was alligator tears, skinned up knees. Fortunately, my legs had broken the fall. Otherwise, it could have been much worse, and it wouldn't have been a sermon illustration. But with a little counseling and so forth, she got back to trusting. She kind of lived by the old Russian adage, dovii, provii, trust but verify. She never did that nesty plunge again without asking first, are you really there? Are you really going to catch me? And that's kind of where we live our lives sometimes. We live our life in a lack of trust. We struggle trusting. And I'm not talking about not trusting politicians. I'm not talking about trusting the church even or pastors. As I shared with the first service today, pastors have gone so far down the totem pole that we are considered as trustworthy as used car salesmen. Sorry, Tony. We're considered, that's where we are. I'm not making stuff up. It's kind of funny, ha-ha, but it's also kind of like, man, the world does not trust, that's their level of respect for pastors these days. I'm not saying that's you guys, but I'm saying that's the suspicion, the lack of trust. We have a struggle of trusting, but I'm not talking about pastors, I'm not talking about churches, I'm not talking about politicians, I'm talking about trusting in God. In the heart of the matter, the next 3 weeks, we're in a series called The Heart of the Matter, and the heart of the matter is this: we have a struggle trusting God. You may or may not agree with that, but let me just give a little bit of example. First, my own examples. I've been following Jesus now for 43 years, and there's times in my life, and I hate to admit, where I still want to trust myself and not trust God, where I want to be in control. One of those areas I struggle trusting God is I want to be in control. I like to manage my life. I like to know the outcomes. I like to set up the scenarios and situations that I know how it's going to work out. And it's one of my idols that I have to fight in my life is the struggle for me to want to be in control rather than God be in control. There's other areas of my life. I'm a people pleaser. I don't like to disappoint people, let people down, but I live in a profession that you make decisions and not everyone likes those decisions. And I don't like it when people don't like those decisions. I like to please people. And sometimes that becomes an idol in my life where I'm seeking to please people more than I'm seeking to please God. And that's not a good thing. Sometimes it's in the area of if you've been through something hard where someone's betrayed you or hurt you, that you struggle in forgiving. Because we want to hold on to that. We want to be in control of that. We want to decide who and when and where and how we're going to forgive. And Jesus says, no, you're called to forgive. You're called to do it immediately. You're called to do it by faith. Those who have wronged you, it says to bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. It says to trust God in his vengeance, that you're not to take vengeance. We're to bless those who have wronged us and hurt us. That's a hard thing. And that's something that I think is a struggle for myself and others to trust, in trusting God to do that and trusting him. There might be other things. I think about relationships. There's those that maybe are in here today, maybe young people. And I get this. I was at this stage one time when you were looking for that, you know, I was looking for that Heather. I was looking for that special person in my life. And yet we can get into a place that we're in a bad relationship, an unhealthy relationship, because we're not trusting in God's timing and his provision. And I understand a single, it's a tough thing, but it's an area that we struggle to trust God in our relationships. There's an area that there's so many things I could mention. I'm going to hit something that hits about 90% of Christians or churchgoers, and that kind of will cover all the rest. If I haven't hit anybody that says, no, I don't trust at all, 90% trust God with their struggle trusting God with their finances. Statistics say, Barna Research says that 2 to 3% is what the majority of Christians or churchgoers, what they give to the church, 2 to 3% of the income. And of those who tithe, only 5 to 10% of professing Christians and churchgoers tithe. I'm not saying that to make anyone feel bad, condemn anyone today. I said that to say that we all struggle trusting God. We all struggle. Why? Because we have fears. We have fears of there not being enough. We have fears of God having our best interests at heart. We have fears of that we maybe even project onto God when people let us down, and we just think, well, people let us down, God lets us down. And because of maybe even of something where you feel like something's happened to your life, or an unanswered prayer that you're dealing with, or at least not yet, that you're feeling, yeah, I'm struggling trusting God. I want to tell you, first of all, it's a natural thing. Now, it doesn't mean that God wants us to stay there, but it's a natural thing that we struggle to trust God. Because when it comes to trusting God, the heart of the matter is the heart. The Scriptures has a lot to say about the heart. And the Scriptures have a lot to tell us, and we're going to look into some of those. And there's many different ways we could have gone with this series, but I've chosen a passage of Scripture today that is near and dear to my heart, that's really simple, familiar probably to many, but yet much harder to do. Just because something is simple doesn't mean that it's easy. And when it comes to trusting in God, the heart of the matter is the heart. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 is our main passage today, which simply says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to him, and he will make your paths straight. I almost didn't trust God in sharing this passage and this message today because of it being such a familiar passage of Scripture, because it being something that is so simple. I thought, you know, I have about talked myself out of not sharing this message today, this Scripture, because of its familiarity with us and as well its simplicity. But again, just because it's simple doesn't mean it's easy. And just because we know something doesn't mean we know it. Just because we know someone doesn't mean we know them. Today, many of you that are watching Patrick Mahomes, I bet you know a lot about Patrick Mahomes. I bet you know a lot about his wife, Brittany, about his three kids. I bet you know about his friends, Travis Kelce and Taylor Swift. I bet you know a lot about them. You've read a lot about them. But the reality is you don't know them. We don't know them. And even if you got their autograph and talked to them for 5 minutes, you don't know them. Heather talked to Bill Self for 3 minutes. He does not know her, no matter what she tells you. I've seen her watch on TV. He knows me. He doesn't know you. Just because we know something doesn't mean we know them. Just because we know something or some about someone doesn't mean that we know them. The half-brother of Jesus, James, wrote a book, 5 chapters, one of my favorite books in the Bible. And he says this, you believe in God? Good. That's great. Even the demons believe in God, and they shudder. Even demons believe God. So it's not enough to just believe and know God. We need to really know God. We need to have him as our Lord and Savior, personal relationship with him. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. With all your heart. The Greek word for heart is cardia. Sounds familiar, right? That's where we get cardio. get your cardio workout. It symbolizes something that's active. We know that the cardiovascular system is central to our existence. If our cardiovascular system, and some of you are really impressed today because you know how hard it is for me to get words out of my mouth, and right now you're really impressed. The cardiovascular system, when it's not working, our minds shut down, our body shut down. Nothing works, nothing operates without the heart. In the same way, spiritually, it's essential to our soul and to our eternal life, just like our physical heart is essential to our body and our earthly life. It's essential. It's the cardia is the center of in the spiritual terms, it's the center of the emotions. It's the center of our desires is the heart. So trust in the Lord with all your heart. There's a lot of things we put our trust in, right? I know we've all heard the saying, I've lived by this sometimes, you've maybe lived by this at different times when it says, just follow your heart. Follow your gut. What's your gut telling you? What's your heart telling you? And I'm not going to say that never works, but I'm going to say it leads to a lot of regrets as well too. Don't trust your heart. That's terrible advice. Don't trust your heart because your heart is about you. Your heart is about self. Your heart is about what others think of you. Your heart is about your money. Your heart is about possessions. Whatever it is, your heart is, it may be about your health. But any of those things, they can lead to disappointment, to letting us down. So don't trust your heart. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. And lean not on your own understanding. Now, it doesn't say that God hasn't given us a brain to think with. God has given us a mind to be able to make a lot of decisions that honestly don't need to even be prayed about. It's just common sense. I know it says to pray without ceasing, pray about everything. But there's some things that we don't have to, God's like, no. His word tells us this is a yes or this is a no. There's those things that we don't have to pray about. It's clear in scripture or it's clear in our conscience. But there are other things that when we get to the bigger decisions, we start leaning on our own understanding. We hold on to it like a crutch. And God is saying, hey, don't not use your understanding. Just don't use it as a crutch. Don't lean on it. Lean on me when you're not strong. And I'll be your friend. That's just what came to me in the second service. It didn't hit me in the first service. The Spirit's moving today. Lean on God. Don't lean on your own understanding. There's things that, and I believe this is how God grows our faith. This is how our faith and our following Jesus gets exciting. It's also when it gets scary because God invites us to trust in Him. And He wants us to trust in Him just like we want our kids to trust in us, that believe in that we know what's best for them. We have a Heavenly Father that knows what's best for us. And there's times that He puts test out there for us, and He's inviting us into a relationship to trust Him. He asks us to do things sometimes that don't make sense to us, and He does that because He wants our best, because He wants to grow our faith. He wants us to be strong. He wants us to be more like Him and to be better. So He calls us to do things that sometimes don't make sense. I think of some of the moves in our lives for Heather and I that haven't made sense. Going into the ministry financially did not make any sense. I think of the second church that we pastored, Patterson. Patterson did not make any sense. In fact, Heather and I had a kind of a wrestling match, and she was like, she didn't want to go back for the second interview. And I said, we got to go back for the second interview. She goes, no, we don't. I said, yes, we do. She goes, I said, yes, we do. She's like, no, we don't. Why do we have to go? And I was like, because we don't want to burn bridges. And we're working with the district superintendent, which is the guy that's above me, then he helps fill churches and pulpits and things. And he said, He's not going to, if we don't show up for the second interview, and I'm making Heather look bad right now. I'm not meaning to do that. There's a lot of things that Heather looks a lot better than me. I just want to say that and go on the record of that. I'm just not thinking of it right now. So anyway, we'll come back to that. Sorry, Heather. Anyway, but when we walked away from that second interview out the parking lot that night, I said, Heather, what do you think? And she says, I don't want to, but I know we're supposed to. I'm thankful that she wasn't leaning on her own understanding. It didn't make sense to her. But I'm thankful today. I don't believe we'd be here in Hutchinson, Kansas if it wasn't for Patterson before Bakersfield. I believe that God had a purpose and a plan in it, but it didn't always make sense. Lean not on your understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him. He'll direct your path. Submit to him. He'll direct your path. I will say this. My greatest regrets in life, and I have many. I'm not going to publicize them and tell you all of them, but I have a lot of regrets in my life just like you do. But I can boil down all my regrets into one category. Not trusting God. Not leaning on him, not submitting to him, leaning on my own understanding, doing what I felt what was best. And sometimes that works out. But I can tell you my regrets fall into the category of not trusting God, not relying on him, putting more faith and more confidence in my understanding and what I knew and what me wanting to be in control. That's where my regrets fall into that bucket right there. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to him. Another word for submit is surrender. When we submit, we are giving up our rights. We're surrendering what we feel is rightfully ours. When we surrender to God, when we submit to God, we're saying, God, I am saying yes to you and no to myself. Whatever you say is what is the direction that I will go. I am denying myself. I'm picking up my cross, as Jesus said, to follow you. That's what it is to surrender. Trust the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your understanding, but in all your ways, submit or surrender to him. Now, I believe it's a wonderful thing when we trust Jesus Christ for our salvation. When we are gloriously saved and forgiven, and we've been made a child of God because of what he's done on the cross for us. I think that is an awesome thing, a wonderful thing. But I believe equally or even greater too is what God calls us is to not just save us and leave us where we are, but save us for a purpose to set us apart, or what is called sanctification. That God doesn't want to just save us. He wants us to be sanctified. He wants to sanctify us. Sanctify means to be set apart. To be set apart for his purpose and for his glory. God doesn't want us just to save us so we can survive this life. He wants to sanctify us so we can thrive in this life. Does that mean we won't sin or make mistakes or fall down? Does it mean we won't have setbacks or hurts or hangups? No, but God wants to, the good work he started in us, it said he wants to finish it in us, which means he not only wants to save us, but he wants to sanctify us. He wants us to live in this power. It's his will for us. And we find this in the apostles in Acts chapter 8, when the apostles in Jerusalem heard that Samaria had accepted the word of God, they had accepted God's word. They sent Peter and John to Samaria. And when they arrived, they prayed for the new believers there that they might receive the Holy Spirit. What are you saying, Pastor? Are you saying, Kent, that we don't get the Spirit when we receive Christ as our Savior? Not at all. God doesn't withhold anything from us. When he comes into our life, we get all of him. We get the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. We get all of God. The problem is God doesn't always get all of us. He doesn't always get every area of our heart. If you can envision the heart with a bunch of rooms, and in those rooms there's keys to those different doors of different places, our relationships, our finances, our future, our decisions. There's these keys in different doors to our heart. And when we accept Jesus Christ and invite him in, we've opened the door of our heart to say, come in and take residence. But oftentimes we say, take residence in the living room, but not in the kitchen. or not in this closet. I'm not ready to give that to you. I'm going to hold on to this area because I trust me. And I'm having a struggle trusting you, God, with this. I love you, and I know that you love me. I'm thankful that you came into my heart, that you've forgiven me of my sins. But there's these rooms that I'm not ready to open the door yet to you. Now, we don't say that. But how we live and our actions oftentimes reveal that. That we don't fully trust in the Lord. That we haven't given the Holy Spirit full access to our life. Because the Holy Spirit had not yet come on any of them, they had simply been baptized into the name of the Lord Jesus. Then Peter and John placed their hands on them, and they received the Holy Spirit. They gave all of their lives to Christ. They surrendered all of him. And for me not to preach, for me to only preach salvation and not preach that Christ wants to sanctify us, is for me to preach a crossless Christ. We can't have Christ without the cross. First of all, we can't have Christ without the cross in recognizing that Christ died on the cross for our sins, paying our penalty of sin and death that we might be a child of God and received into his family and into his kingdom. The cross is part of believing. We trust in the cross that Jesus died on, that he had to pay a penalty for us. But there's also a place of the cross in our following Jesus. Jesus' words, not mine, says that we are to deny ourselves, pick up our cross daily, and follow him. God doesn't want, and Jesus doesn't want, the Holy Spirit doesn't want us just to be saved. He wants us to be sanctified. He wants us to be set apart. And the joy in the Christian life is the more that we surrender to him, I just believe the more joy that we have. The more that we give to him, the more that we submit, the more that we stop leaning on our own understanding and say yes to God, even when it doesn't make sense, that's when our faith gets exciting. That's when our following Jesus gets thrilling and becomes all that God wants it to be. Because there is a cross that we're called to pick up. And it is God's will, as it says in Thessalonians, it is God's will that you should be sanctified. That you should avoid sexual immorality, that each of you should learn to control your own body in a way that is holy and honorable. There's a lot of examples. There's more than just sexual immorality, but there's many examples, greed and others, that we need to relinquish and give up control to God. God wants us to honor him with our life. He died for us so that we could live for him. He died for us not so that we could continue to live in habitual sin. Does it mean that we won't sin? No. That's why we have 1 John 1:9 that says, if we do sin, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Thanks be to God. Praise be to God for that. It was the Apostle John who said that I've written these words that you would not sin. He doesn't want us to sin, but in the very next sentence, he says, but if you do sin, we have an advocate, Jesus Christ, who stands in before the Father on our behalf and defends us. We all need defenders in our life at different times, and the greatest defense attorney that we could ever have is Jesus Christ, who stands before the Father and who intercedes for us, and so God can see us as a righteous child of God, not because of our righteousness, but because he's looking through the Son to who we are. So God wants to sanctify us. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to him. And then here's the promise. And he will make your path straight. God wants your path and my path to be straight. And without him, like I said, my greatest regrets, my greatest getting off the road and into the path of regrets is when I am not trusting in God, when I'm not leaning on him, when I am not submitting to him. That's where my greatest regrets in life have been. And my greatest times where I'm on the path that God wants me to be on is when I'm trusting, when I'm leaning on him, when I'm submitting to him. He will make your path straight. It doesn't say, by the way, and he will make your paths easy. Don't sign up for any type of Christianity that tells you that following Jesus is going to be easy, that following Jesus will not cost you anything. Jesus himself gave the analogy. He said, when you build a house, will the person who's building the house not first consider what it's going to cost them to build that house? There's a cost to following Jesus. By the way, it's worth it. It's the most satisfying life. He'll make our path straight. It doesn't mean our paths will be easy, but our path, it is a satisfying life. And I'm never going to apologize for that. Following Jesus is a satisfying, rewarding life, the best life that anyone can live. And whether someone agrees with me or doesn't agree with me, I don't have to convince them of that. I just have to know for myself that Jesus is the best way anybody can live their life. It's the life that will lead to the least amount of regrets, because we all have regrets. But the least amount of regrets is the life that is submitted to Jesus Christ, trusting in the Lord for salvation and leaning not on their own understanding. And so I was trying to figure out a way that we could remember this, take this home. And I was thinking of our high schoolers and some of our middle schoolers and young people today. This is my best attempt. So here we go. Kind of rhymes, right? Trust, lean, submit. God's way is lit. Now, let me tell you something. I did my research and my homework, and I looked up the word lit, because I know there's some that would go to a party and say, let's get lit. That's not what your pastor is talking about. I looked up the word lit, and it means to excel. It means excellence. It means exciting. And the path of following Jesus, trusting, leaning, submitting to him, it's the lit way to live your life. It's the exciting way to live. It's the adventurous way to live your life. It's the best way to live your life. It's not the easy way to live your life. But the best things in life usually are hard. It is the best way. It is the lit way to trust, lean, and submit. And I don't care how old you are, what age you are, when you come to this conclusion, and it doesn't mean we do this perfectly, I'm telling you today, 43 years into this journey of following Jesus, I still have times where I don't trust or I don't lean. I lean into my own understanding. I don't submit to him. I'm thankful that I have an understanding, gracious, patient God who says, Kent, you're a work in progress, and I'm not done with you yet. I'm thankful that I have a God who sees what I can be, not what I am, who's looking for my future, not looking at my past. And he does the same thing for you. But the path that is most satisfying, most joyful, most rewarding in this life is when we're trusting, leaning, and submitting in God's ways. Trust, lean, submit. God's way is lit. What do you think, guys? Can we... Approval? Yeah, I got two thumbs up. I'm not going to look for any more than that. That's enough for me. So where would we land this today? Action steps. First is this. Trust in Jesus Christ for your salvation. You may be watching online. You may be in this room. You may have heard a lot of messages, but you have still not put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Today is the day of salvation, the Word of God says. Today is the day that God wants to make you a child of his. But he is a gentleman. He'll never force himself on you. He always gives you an invitation. He always invites you. And we give that same invitation to trust in Jesus Christ for your salvation. To trust in him to forgive you of your sins. To yes, admit that you're a sinner in need of a savior. To admit that God is right and you're wrong, which is called repentance. To repent means to change your mind, to agree with God that God is right, you're wrong, and you want to follow God's way and no longer your way to the best of your ability. That's trusting in Jesus Christ and trusting in him alone. So trust in Jesus Christ for your salvation. The second may be to lean into God's word for wisdom. Because I don't care how long you follow Jesus, this is a battle that we'll have the rest of our life. Because maybe like me, you like to be in control. You like to call the shots. You like things to always make sense. You want to understand them before you say yes to them. That's not how God always works. The way he grows our faith is he will ask us at times, do you trust me? trust me enough to do something I'm asking you to do that doesn't make sense? That's when our faith gets exciting. That's when it gets scary, but that's when it grows. Lean into God's word for wisdom. The third is to submit to the Holy Spirit for your sanctification. To make Jesus Christ not only your Savior, but to make him your Lord. To let him be the Lord of your life. To let him have every door in your heart to the best of your ability. And by the way, when this is a daily thing, it's not just a one and done. I think there's a decision where we say, hey, God, my answer for now on is yes. There came a time in my life where my answer to God was, God, I'll go wherever you want me to go. I'll marry whoever you want me to marry. I'll do whatever you ask me to do. I'll leave state. I'll leave country. And honestly, I didn't say it with a complete pure heart because I thought that God didn't want to always give you what you wanted. And so growing up, I was like, God, I will go to Africa for you. Thinking I could trick God into some psychological trickery. You know what I found? God wants to give you the desires of your heart. And if it's to go across seas and be a missionary, God's going to place this burning desire in your heart that you cannot get rid of. And it'll be something scary that you'll have to say yes to, but it'll be the most thrilling, rewarding, exciting. I'll give you the same advice my dad gave me going into ministry. He said, Kent, if you can do anything else and still be in God's will, do that. But if he calls you to it, it'll be the most rewarding thing you've ever done. I thought it was good advice. And I say the same advice to you for whatever God may be asking or calling you. I don't know what's going on in your life. Whatever it is, you'll never regret saying yes. Submitting fully to God's will for your life, submitting to the Holy Spirit. So what is it for you today? If you had to just pick one, would there be one of these that I think that we could fall into? Man, I know many times this is what I go back to. I just want to be able to map out my course. I want it to make sense. I want to be in control of this situation. It's hard for me to let go and let God. What is it for you? Maybe for you today, it's to trust in Jesus Christ for salvation. Maybe for you, it's to say, God, I'm spending too much time trying to figure this out, and I need to let go and allow you, Lord, whatever you want. Or maybe it's to submit to the Spirit to give full control of your life over to him. I'm going to ask you to stand with me, and I'm going to pray for us today. Man, you guys are always good. Even if you are Chiefs fans, you're good people. I see that wave of the hat back there. Someone's getting blessed. I'm so grateful, and I'm so thankful for the way God is at work in your life and mine. And I'm thankful that he loves us just the way that we are today, but he loves us too much to leave us there. Man, does God love us. Would you pray with me, Heavenly Father? Thank you for your grace and your mercy that's new every day. Thank you, God, for, oh, if we just knew how much you loved us. If we just knew how much you loved us, it would change everything. Our level of trust, our level of submission. Lord, I pray today you would grow our faith today. Enlarge our view of who God is. Help us to see you for who you are, a loving heavenly Father who sent his only Son, Jesus, to die on a cross for our sins, to pay the penalty of sin and death that we could have eternal life. And then a God who doesn't want us just to survive, but wants us to thrive. Even when we have setbacks, even when we have disappointments, even when we have things that we don't understand. Lord, thank you. With your heads bowed and your eyes closed this morning, I've asked you to think about what you most maybe align with today. What is most stands out to you? Is it trusting in Christ for salvation? Is it leaning on your own understanding where you need to lean into God? Is it submitting your life fully to him and his lordship, letting him be the CEO, the head coach of your life? Your head's bowed and your eyes closed. I just want to pray for you before we go. I'm not expecting every hand or anything, but I just believe like in the first service, there's going to be many hands because God is working in lives. God is active. Today, you're here and you haven't made that decision to follow Jesus Christ as your Lord, or it's time to come back to him and reconnect with him. If that's you, would you just raise your hand that I can pray for you before we leave? Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Can you leave them up for a second? Thank you. Thank you. Heavenly Father, I pray for these that have raised their hand today. And I'm going to just invite you in your own mind to pray these words or similar words. Dear Jesus, thank you for dying on a cross for my sins. I repent of my sins. I'm sorry for my sins. I acknowledge that I need a Savior. And I'm asking you to come into my life and help me to follow you. Thank you that I'm a child of God now. Today, if you've been maybe following Jesus for a long time, but you're in a place, I believe there's many like in the first service that are probably in the second service, you're in a place, I don't know your life, but you're in a valley of making a difficult decision, a consequential decision, a decision that you're not certain what to do, but today you're just saying, Pastor, would you pray for me? I have an important decision. I need God's help and I need his courage to make the decision that would be best for him. If that's you today, would you just raise your hand? I want to pray for you too as well. Yeah, there's a lot of us. We all have decisions, don't we? There's things that we have. Heavenly Father, I pray for these that have, Lord, I don't know what their situation is. I don't need to know, Lord. What's important is you know. And God, I believe by them raising their hand, it's just saying, God, I want your help. I don't want to lean on my own understanding. I want to be led by your Spirit, and I need some guidance and some wisdom. Would you give them the wisdom that they need? Your word tells us that if we need wisdom, to ask for it and believe that you'll give it to us. So Lord, we're believing that you're going to give us the wisdom that we need for these decisions. And Lord, would you give us the courage to make the right decision? The decision that you would have us make. And then finally today, Jesus Christ is your Lord. I mean, he's your Savior, but honestly, you're not living in the full power of the Spirit because there's areas of your life that you're holding on to. And today you just want to let go of those and say, God, I want to give you full control to the best of my ability, to the best of my knowledge. I give you full control of my life. That's you today. You just raise your hand too. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus, for these, Lord, that they want you to have full control of their life. And you may, too, just want to pray a simple prayer like this. Lord Jesus, I need you, and I want you to be my Lord and Savior. I want you to be my Savior and my Lord. And to the best of my ability, Lord, I surrender to you. I'm giving you control, and I'm asking, Father, that your Holy Spirit would lead me in the way that I should go. And from this day forward and the moments that come up in my life, my answer to you is going to be yes. Thank you, Father, for this day. Thank you, Lord, that you're working in my heart and our hearts. Thank you that you're working in the lives of your people because you love us so much. Lord, we praise you and we thank you. And we give you all the praise and all the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Pastor.